Everybody, it's September 29th,
2011. Nicely done.
Again. Yes, we're off to a great start here.
It's September 29th, 2011, and you're listening to episode
55
of the Nitro Beer Beardcast. I am your host, Brian Belita, and I am joined by the usuals, Imran Khan.
I'm in a coma and don't know it.
Mark Bradshaw.
Hi there. Just glad that you guys know, in order to offset Bank of America's $5 debit card fees, I will now be charging $5 a month for this podcast. Not for the whole podcast, just my sections of the podcast.
Awesome. I'm going to have to start doing that too. So sorry, you guys are going to have to start paying $10 a podcast.
Yeah. Sorry about this, guys, but that's the way it's got to be.
It's just, yep, big banks, big money, big company, big business. Yeah,
so go occupy Wall Street and, you know, we'll get this fixed.
Get pepper sprayed by Sergeant Sausage, or whatever that guy's name is. Baloney, what was it? Anyways, right, and we're missing Wes and Tyler tonight, but we are joined by Mr. Brian Loper.
It's Laper.
Is it Laper? This whole time?
It rhymed with paper this whole time. Yes,
this whole time. I just kept looking at it, and it was like, L-O-E-P-L. That's got its Loper.
But no, there's no way. That the E is not the O.
It's complicated. So the O-E used to be an umlauted O back in the day.
Oh, well, see, you got to keep that umlaut.
Well, I would have, but I was not born at that time.
Well, shit, you got to take these new neutrinos, travel back in time, and fix that.
Can't you order your kids to bring the umlaut back?
I could. But yeah, so it's supposed to be Loper, and then if you give New York dock workers the name Loper, it becomes Laper really quick.
Loper. So,
and then we hit somewhere around 1950s, I guess.
And it was like Laper.
Yes. So it rhymes with paper, Laper.
All right, well, I'm never going to forget that now, and it's going to be really weird looking at your name, thinking Loper, but then going, nope, it's Laper.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing when you introduce yourself as Loper.
I'm Mr. Brian Interloper. That's a terrible middle name. Why would you ever? Anyways, you should give one of your kids that middle name.
I should do that.
Yeah. But so, yeah, welcome. We're going to talk about some things. Interloper. Shit. let's talk about the Syndicate trailer, because that came out today, and that was kind of rad. I'm going to let Mark talk about it first, since he had some generous words about it.
That thing's rad as hell. That's basically it.
Well, I believe you said it was Deus Ex as fuck.
Yeah, that thing, okay, I don't want to say that to disparage it, because everyone's like, oh, they're copying Deus Ex. But, you know, it's parallel development. I mean, I don't think there's any way that the guys who made this thing were looking over, like, their shoulders at, like, who the hell made, Ubisoft Montreal?
Eidos.
So, yeah, Eidos, that's right. They're all the same damn company.
Isn't Deus Ex like 15 years old or something?
But that was made by Idosor way back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, so it is taking some cues from the original Deus Ex, and obviously not taking a lot of cues from the original Syndicate, which is probably good, because this is actually, this is quite clearly a first-person shooter.
Which usually really goes over well.
Yeah, I mean, it's that if you want to make money in 2011, that's what you got to do. Don't really see any of the RPG aspects to it, so that's kind of troubling. I don't know if they're even going to bother with that.
Right, any of the customization and whatnot.
Yeah, so, I mean, they might, you know, how, like, Human Revolution was kind of, like, a further refinement of, like, Mass Effect. Maybe this is a further refinement of even that, and it's basically just...
I enjoy the first person, like, hey, that'll be really cool, but I don't know, I would have welcomed just a kind of a new Syndicate, because I'm terrible at, like, you know, big RTS games where you control armies and stuff, but I do kind of enjoy little, you know, kind of strategical, I don't know, I guess squad-based, I don't know what you'd call it. RTS on a smaller scale.
But even this, apparently you're like, you're an agent, have a company to go like extract files from businesses. Okay, that's great. And I guess you own this IP and you gotta do something with it, and you figure it's got some kind of value. I just gotta think you're probably like doing better in the long run if you just create something new.
Right. Well,
I'm not exactly sure what the value is out of like just taking the Syndicate name, other than it sounds really cool. I guess that was the idea, because that's exactly why they used Origins for their online store. It made no sense. You got the IP. Why the hell not?
I'm watching the trailer now, and it looks like what would happen if Michael Bay made the Bourne movies.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, it's kind of weird, because they just kind of announced it recently, like September, just last month, right? Wait, is this month September? It's this month.
It's still September.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep getting this confused with XCOM.
And it's slated for a February 2012 release.
Yeah, that's usually kind of troubling.
Which is kind of weird. But, yeah.
Depends on how long they've been working on it.
Right, exactly. I mean, as Mark said, it was probably being developed alongside Deus Ex, so whatever. But it is being developed by Starbreeze. So they made the really awesome Riddick games.
Okay, well, that's good.
So I'm kind of...
Are they still owned by... Because I know Vin Diesel was, like, had something to do with, like, the actual development of that thing. Like, he owned the studio that developed it or something.
Right, was it Triton?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, yeah, something starts with a T.
But no, I still think they're into...
Let's see here. What have they done? Never heard of that.
I know they've done both Riddick games.
Right, Enclave, Knights of the Temple, Enclave, whatever. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Knights of the Darkness? That's...
Mispronouncing things left and right.
But yeah, so if anything, I think the Syndicate title is probably in good hands. So I'm hoping the best. I'm EA, which means Origin, probably exclusive. Well, possibly. I don't know. I feel like this is low enough key, maybe, that EA won't be dicks about it, but I don't know. I don't know what EA's policy is now for games that they're publishing.
Well, in recent years, they tended to have a focus on, like, producing their hardcore stuff tends to be of high quality, and they seem to pride themselves on that, even if they don't make as much money as they do off the Maddens or the casual friendly stuff.
Right.
So they seem to have like a bunch of these high profile games that are very good quality that keeps, you know, us coming back. So they might be willing to let these guys do whatever.
Well, I can pre-order it on Origin right now for $59.99. Yeah. That price.
Your point, other hotspot for
that PC price point is there's just that extra $10, and I can't support it. So it looks like I'll be waiting for a sale. Sorry, Syndicate.
Or you can buy it on the console, which is clearly going to be made for, because it's an EA game.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Syndicate. I know I sent my brother it earlier with a link to a video of the original Syndicate as well, and it was just a flood of nostalgia. Like the intro, the music, the sound effects were really just kind of stuck in my head, because I had a lot of fun playing that game with my brother on like a really old laptop or something. I can't remember. But speaking of EA games and design for console, I don't suppose any of you have played the Battlefield 3 beta, right?
Nope.
It just came out yesterday?
Nope.
Yesterday.
No interest. Yeah,
I don't know. I know David Marchmont, our resident Frenchman, but it came out freshman.
Oh my god, he is going to murder.
Oh, I know. No, he's going to say I'm usually some sort of analogy involving Hitler's possibly defecation and Stalin. I don't know.
Right.
Wait, so you're saying he's merely freshman?
No.
Thank you.
But
that pun was three Hitlers standing on top of one another.
But I know he was saying earlier today that he didn't like it. He was like, "Well, guess I'm just going to stick with BC2." I don't know. There are a couple things. I guess you don't actually launch the game. Like, you launch a browser. I don't know. I heard some weird things. But I don't know. I haven't played it yet, and I probably won't, because I just don't find the Battlefield games fun.
I would probably play it if they were a bit more crazy, I guess. Like, I don't like just walking out 3 feet and getting shot in the head and then having to respawn.
Right, exactly. And
I mean, I'm sure there are people who do like that, and I can understand why they would like that.
Right, right.
But it's not really my thing.
Yeah, but
the key to it all is getting mortar strikes, because then you don't have to walk anywhere. Right, you just call it a mortar strike. It's great. It makes the whole game worth it.
It is. The times I've played Battlefield 2 and BC 2 and stuff, I always end up becoming more frustrated than anything, for the reason Imran mentioned, but also because the way people play, like the play style, the mechanics of the game don't match up with the way people play the game. I don't know, does that make any sense? Like, people are playing it like it's Quake 3. I know, maybe.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Instead of playing it where sneaking around and popping out of cover and...
Designed for tactical squad-based
right.
approach, and nobody does that.
Right, and just the same way that, you know, you may be an expert Street Fighter player, and then you like, all right, come on, come play against me to, like, your friend who has never touched it, and they'll start mashing on controllers, and they'll kick your ass.
Ah, the Tekken effect.
Yes, I guess. Eddie Gordo combo machine.
High kick, high kick, low kick, low kick.
But yeah, so Battlefield 3, and that's another Origin thing. So I don't know. I'd be really interested to see how much of a barrier Origin is, and if that affects their sales.
Let me ask this as someone who doesn't play like hardly any of these things. The only thing I ever play is like Modern Warfare 1. Like, a lot of time has passed since the last Battlefield, right?
Let's see. Excuse me.
And there has been like four or five like Call of Duties in between like these two games.
Let's see.
Right?
Bad Company 2 came out on iOS December 16th, 2010.
Sure. I mean, the Bad Company thing seemed to be like their own separate thing.
No, it came out.
They're the same studio, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, they're the same. Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But Battlefield 2 itself was 2009.
Right, and Bad Company 2 was March 2010.
Okay, so it's not actually as far as I thought. I thought that game seems like it's a way older game than
it does. Yeah,
I'm just wondering, like, what kind of like advancements have really been made in like the genre? Is like, what does it need to do to catch up with like the modern warfares of the genre now? Like, have there been huge advancements?
The only things I heard that I was excited about were things that could have been covered in a patch.
Yeah.
It looks nice, and I think that's what they're counting on.
Right.
If you have a machine that can run it like
and,
that.
And possibly...
Well, I mean, even on 360, it looks nice. So if they... Probably what's going to be the big difference between this and Call of Duty is to how much the game gives you positive reinforcement for everything you do. And that's what Call of Duty's multiplayer succeeded, is... Every time you shot someone, it would be like, great, now shoot another person. Then you shoot more people, and you start getting more and more powerful. It's like the Katamari of first-person shooters.
Right, well, I don't know. I mean, the maps are already fuck huge. Maybe the engine can support larger maps, but I don't know that would be fun.
Well, I mean, that's already been kind of done with, like, MAG, right? Nobody really cared about MAG.
Well, that's because it was a first-person shooter on a console.
Yeah. Okay, Tribes. No one cares about Tribes anymore.
A lot of people care about Tribes.
Okay, so I'm talking on my ass. But the fact is, that scene doesn't seem like a huge selling point.
Right, right.
But of course, I don't play these games, so I shouldn't be talking about them, but I don't know.
So yeah, the only reason I picked it up was $5 Steam sale, so...
Yeah. I got gifted BC2, and I played a bit of it with some friends, which is okay, but I still...
I just like the idea that we have, like, a PC game where, like, owning a joystick, like a flight stick, is kind of an absolute requirement to enjoy that game.
Right. Vehicle controls are always finicky.
So they have to change that, right? There's no way they can keep doing that with a sequel, right?
Change what?
I mean, the vehicle controls. I mean, right now you have to have, like, a flight stick to accurately fly that airplane,
You
right?
don't have
to... think that if they could change that, then we'd be flying airplanes with keyboards instead of joysticks.
True.
Sure, why don't we? Let's go and do that.
Good point.
Even it's no good fun to point, accurately Brian. Fly our plane. It's more fun to just grab into it, not understand what you're doing, and immediately crash into the ground.
Yeah. Hopefully with your friends on board.
Yes.
That is
honestly, hopefully, with some people on your team that are shouting at you for being such a noob.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
that is an airplane. It's like the Reno Air Show.
That is one of the. Oh god.
I one of my friends was there actually.
Well, oh, that was terrible.
During the crash, he left like 30 minutes before that happened.
Oh, man. Oh
wow. Yeah, he's a lucky son of a bitch.
Jesus, that's scary. But that is one of the most fun things about the Battlefield games, just loading up a server with like you and some friends and just dicking around with vehicles. Admittedly, it's like a Garry's Mod type thing. For the longest time it was for me with like Battlefield 1942. There was this turbo mod that would allow you to pilot an aircraft carrier and fly it across an island.
Yes!
It was the best thing. So
it's like the helicarrier from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly, yeah, basically. Yeah, so I guess we'll see how Battlefield 3 does. Have there been any big releases Origin exclusive yet?
First one's Battlefield, then there's The Old Republic, then Mass Effect 3.
Okay, all right, so Battlefield is the first one. Like I said, I'd be interested to see how those sales numbers do in comparison to other things. But yeah, speaking of sales numbers real quick, which I usually hate and stuff when people put things in them. But anyways, Dark Souls sold like 250,000 or something?
Yeah, I think it sold out its initial shipment in Japan.
Right, which is insanely awesome because I think the next one under that was 90,000 and I don't remember what it was. It was like, was it a Mario game? I don't know. Hold on, let me check. I think Any Profit had posted about it. I'm just going to double check. This is...
But it's kind of funny because I don't think Namco really put any effort into advertising that game.
Right, no. I don't think so.
They're publishing it themselves in Japan.
I don't think they did at all.
So it pretty much just sold on reputation, which is surprising.
Yeah. Okay, so right. The weekly sales for Dark Souls was 280,000. The next one under that was the Ico Shadow of the Colossus combo pack, and that was 91,000. And then after that, with 65,000, is Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Tag Force 6.
5D's.
Just when you think Japan is doing so well and you feel so proud of them, there's fucking Yu-Gi-Oh!
5D's. And after that is Gears of War.
You're kidding.
Well, this is probably Japan. Yes, yeah. Japanese weekly software sales chart.
So what happened? Did Microsoft buy like a copy of Gears of War 3 for every Japanese-owning 360 owner? Just ship them to them? Say, hey, here, thanks for owning a 360.
Thanks for owning the 360. You should check out this game.
That is kind of what they did with 360s in general for like their summer Windows promotion.
Right.
It's like, whatever, just get any computer. We'll give you a 360.
Phoenix-san, you chainsaw our locust in half. I don't even know what the hell that was.
I'm not sure Jeff Green would approve of this.
Jeff Green. I knew Wes was going to be really giddy when he found out that Jeff Green had listened to the last Beardcast. Because Wes, I think, I don't know, I might be wrong, but Wes among all of us really, really looks up to him. And I don't know. Yeah, so...
case he's listening right now, are you saying you don't look up to him?
No, I think he's a rad dude, and I also do, but I know Wes particularly was really, really has followed him, and I don't know, is that creepy?
Stalked him somewhat.
Not stalked him, no.
I think he played that off pretty well.
Jeff Green, Wes is not stalking you, okay?
We don't know where Wes is.
If you
tonight.
See a guy about 5'8", probably wearing a kind of grungy shirt, just don't worry about it.
So where is he
also,
tonight again?
Also, change your phone number.
Wes is working, I believe.
So obviously, what we need to do to like get the attention of the people we respect is to mention them. On the podcast and repeat whatever they say. So I have a plan. I've got Game Life open.
Boys Life?
No, it's Game Life. It's Wired's game blog.
Oh, okay.
And Chris Kohler writes for it. So here's my plan.
Nope, you said the word Chris Kohler. That means we have to mention him in the tweet that we send out.
Yeah, well, this is my plan. What we know about Chris Kohler is that he lives in New York City and that he has an absolutely phenomenal collection of games. So here's the plan, and we probably want to edit this part out of the podcast before we ship it out. But we're going to get on his good side. I'm going to get in his confidence. Then I'm going to find out where he lives. I'm going to rent a building beside his apartment complex and carve a hole into that and leave with his games.
But
what about this? What do you need the apartment next to him for?
Well, because you know that's where we start building the hole to like get into his apartment from.
If you've got this apartment next to him and you've got the hole, why not just walk over and play the games?
Well, he's not there.
Well, that'd be stupid. I mean, my games that he owns. They need to be my stuff.
Go play Panzer Dragoon.
5440 or fight.
But real quick. So speaking of kind of cool people mentions and stuff. The in the last Thick Mustache Stash Cast that I guested on, I went down to DC and guested on. We talked about the Tommy Wiseau, which I think Imran has watched. I don't know about Mark and Brian.
It's pretty terrible.
And so David from Thick Mustache posted it and, you know, kind of put out, he didn't mention Tommy Wiseau or anything. He just said, you know, we talk about the Tommy Wiseau. So like any good social media person, the Tommy Wiseau guys, you know, were searching Twitter for any mentions of it. And I guess the guy listened to the podcast and kind of, here, I'm going to read this tweet verbatim, but sent a tweet to the Thick Mustache account, saying, let's see. You mustache men are wrong about almost everything you said. I'm a mystery to you. You should have Chris True on your show.
That's kind of a disturbingly accurate.
Hold on, wait. that was the Wiseau laugh. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, so
I laugh.
So he said that the Thick Mustache guys should have Chris True on the show, who I believe is one of the writers or something of Studio 8, which are the people that make the Tommy Wiseau. So hopefully that'll happen, because that would be kind of amazing. Because we did a little bit of bashing and calling it really awkward. So, so Jeff Green and Tommy Wiseau, thanks, guys.
Together at last.
It's good to know.
I would watch that show. That show would have some potential.
The Jeff Green Tommy Wiseau show.
Yes.
That would be kind of amazing.
Yeah, he's become too self-aware of his why he was popular for The Room.
Yeah.
So now he's just doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
You hear me, Tommy Wiseau?
Are you listening?
We're calling you out, bitch.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi,
I would be very up for a rivalry with Tommy Wiseau. I think that could, like, not only would it be good for Nitro Beard, it would probably be good for everybody.
It would be good for Tommy Wiseau. Hopefully he would grow a beard, like, in protest. You guys think your beards are so Nitro. You're wrong. You're wrong.
You have to have worked on this voice somehow.
I do accents okay, I guess. I do. I don't know.
I'm not saying you're a liar, but I suspect you're lying.
I don't know. I guess after saying, well, hi, Mark, so often, it just kind of comes naturally. Car, why you no drive fast? Now you drive fast. What the fuck?
This is apparently an Ubisoft advertisement.
Is this real? Holy shit.
That's for some reason, all of these, like, 4chan rage faces are in Deus Ex.
Really?
I don't know why they, like, on little things, on, like, memos and stuff like that, you see the Why You Know guy.
Oh, right. Oh, man. This is special. I think this is the podcast image. Now you drive fast. This is the best. Oh, man. I love Germany.
That is actually a fantastic game. I'm incredibly surprised.
Tell us about it, because the last driver I played was, I think, on the PlayStation 1, I'm pretty sure. And there was a code you could input to shrink your car.
Have you ever seen Life on Mars? The British show where a guy gets hit by a car and goes to a coma.
Maybe not.
Oh, okay, that's basically the setup here.
Okay.
Tanner gets hit by a car. And in the process of trying to re-apprehend Jericho, and he goes into a coma, but he's not quite aware of it. So he's doing things where he's leaping from car to car, and his partner doesn't believe him. And the actual story spot is kind of stupid, but the actual gameplay where you're just driving and leaping from place to place is amazingly fun.
So he's driving in his dreams?
Pretty much. Like, he's in a coma in a hospital room, and he's hearing about all these crimes on TV, and he's solving these crimes in his head.
Interesting.
Like, he's hearing about a girl that got kidnapped. So in his coma dream, him and his partner are chasing down this car, but they can't tell where the girl is. So he's psychically causing her to open the trunk and look out the window, or look out the open trunk to see where she is. Then you go back to your car and follow her.
What?
It's fucked up, but it's like,
but
the
it
actual
works.
Driving is so fun. Huh, and everything cool. controls like a 70s car. Nuts. So when you start, when you take a turn, you skip.
You mean like a warthog?
Kind of, yeah. Like, there's
just
a point
huge
where
amounts
like,
of torques and can't steer very well.
In the intro, I ended up somehow getting onto two wheels, and those two wheels touched a wall, and I was driving down a thing being chased by an armored car.
Nice.
Off the wall.
Oh, that's awesome.
And all the music is 70s licensed music.
Nice.
I mean, so,
did you then drive fast?
Yes, it makes me drive fast.
You drive fast. Is this out on PC or
yeah,
consoles?
Yeah, it came out
only?
On PC yesterday. Huh. Or day yesterday.
Is it on Steam?
Yes.
It
sounds like a Gunsmith Cats kind of handling.
I may have to check this out because it sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably going to get repetitive at some point.
Right.
But
well, it's
the actual
every
place
game
I am
to some
now,
extent.
It's really fun. Like, just even chasing down, getting into a police car and chasing down getaway cars is so fun because you can start tailing the guy and try and ram him with the LB button or whatever. And then once he starts pulling ahead, you can go up and go to the opposite traffic side, take over a car there, and just hit him head on.
So whoa. So this is like, I don't know. Did anyone ever play a really old game, Messiah, where you played a little cherub baby
the
that
cherub
could...
Thing. Yeah, I remember that.
So it's like part that, part driver, part pursuit force.
Pretty much.
That's so like, how's the game put together? Is it like open world? Is it like separate missions? So
you can. It's basically open world, but...
But you don't
you
leave
just,
the car, right?
You know, yeah, you can zoom out of the Tanner body and go possess anyone else. And there's like that's the boring part of the game, is just trying to find people to possess. Because you have all the markers on your map, but it takes a while to just get there.
This sounds so bizarre, but neat. Is this driver San Francisco or?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking up a gameplay trailer. I don't know.
And like, there's little vignettes for each side mission. Like, in the first chapter, you're taking over the body of a college kid because his brothers went out of tuition, and they don't want to go home and be part of the Yakuza.
Oh man.
So. They have to win a street race.
There are ramp trucks everywhere. That's
yes.
awesome.
There's ramp trucks, and like my favorite mechanic is taking over a tow truck, and instead of trying to crash somebody that like is trying to get away, I'll just slowly drive in front of them and brake really hard, and it will hook them onto the tow truck.
Oh, beautiful.
This looks kind of neat. But what was with like the port? I don't know. I loaded up a video, and they're like portraits of two people on either side of the top. Of the screen?
Those are side quests, basically.
Okay.
When you go, like, most of them are one-offs, but you'll see occasionally repeats of people talking about what they're doing. Like, one I was thinking of is two female cops were talking about how the person in front of them stole money from a church. Then Tanner takes over and immediately says, I've always wanted to say this, we're on a mission from God, and then starts trying to ram the guy.
Beautiful.
Oh, man, this guy looks like Keanu Reeves, and he just, I don't know, I guess there was, like, a bomb underneath a big truck, and so he drove his car underneath the bed of the truck and, I don't know, reached out the sunroof and disarmed the bombs or something.
It's so fucking 70s, it's amazing.
That's awesome. This is, well, it sounds like it was kind of a surprise then, that
yeah,
it's
like,
fun.
They showed it off about 2 E3s ago, and it was one of those things where I said, he's in a coma and doesn't know it, and everybody laughed. Including
right, because it's such a cliche.
Yeah, but like now that it's actually out, it's amazing how well put together it is.
Cool. Well, I will definitely take your recommendation on that, so thank you. All right, so let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about X-Men Destiny. Poop Mountain, and also a board game, Arkham Horror. So yeah, we'll be back in a jiff. Me included.
Sitting?
Pretty much how we like to spend our Thursday nights.
Yep, just sitting with four dudes, ourselves included.
We're sitting in a line, not making any eye contact.
But anyways, we're back. It's me, Mark, Imran, and Brian Laper.
Broadcasting from the men's room.
Broadcasting from the men's room, just the four dudes chilling here.
Eyes forward, gentlemen. Eyes forward.
Anyways. So we're back, and we're going to talk about some more things. First up, the thing, X-Men Destiny. Let's talk about that. Brian, Danger Zone.
I love that show so much. I watch it with
you. Danger Zone.
Season 3 is fantastic, in case you guys haven't watched it yet. You should.
What is?
What's
that? Season 3 of Archer. It just started airing.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch it.
Technically, it's the end of Season 2. That's really complicated, but...
If that shit would get online, I'd watch it.
You haven't heard of the Pirate Bay?
Oh, yeah. That's.
I'd like to take a moment to state that Nitrobeard in no way endorses the pirating of licensed television shows from the PirateBay.org.
.com.
.org.
Net.
Comedy Net, right?
That game is kind of terrible in ways that are surprising even to me, who expected it to be kind of terrible.
We're talking about X-Men Destiny now, not...
not Archer.
Yeah, not Archer.
Yes. Just to clarify. Right, I saw some screenshots that you were posting the other day, and it was Poop Mountain, more so than Dragon Age 2.
Okay, explain something to me. Is Cyclops, like, eating in every scene he's in, or is there a reason why his mouth is full?
I can't... I'm playing through the Wii version because I don't have the component cables for my 360, and that makes it hard to capture it.
Oh.
But in pretty much every version looks like terrible, terrible shit. And it just... The game itself, it's so badly made. People are talking over each other constantly, like... There was a cutscene I was playing earlier that the cutscene ended, but the dialogue didn't. So they were still talking right there, like, well after I had left the room, and, like, was continuing forward.
And what about the deep morality system?
You get two choices, join X-Men or join the Brotherhood. Hmm. And it literally phrases it as that.
Would you like to, A, murder some innocent civilians... Or B, feed the innocent civilians by baking cookies.
That's pretty much the first actual moral choice, is you can either pour a bunch of oil on people and let
them... Yeah. Holy shit!
Or you That's can save them.
By presumably not pouring the oil over them.
Yeah, I didn't choose how to save them, so I don't know what you do.
No,
so it's option A, making cookies out of them? Because I'm okay with that.
people cookies.
So let me ask, is like, okay, you have this morality system. Is there a point where, like, you can stop getting X-Men morality, or you can stop getting Brotherhood morality, or do you always have these two options no matter how far you go up?
Because I don't know. I'm going to keep choosing one or the other in alternating form to see at which point somebody says, fuck, just make a decision.
Right, nice. Cause,
or if they even program that in.
Is there a mod to call them Renegade and Paragon?
But
see, that's a weird thing. The game was originally pitched to us as Mass Effect with X-Men. And it's
that's
more...
a good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. Yeah. And it's not that at all. Like, I guess, I think maybe at some point they wanted to do dialogue trees and stuff like that, but it's Silicon Knights, and 18 months is not enough for them to make a game.
Ooh. Well, it sounds like, well, 18 I know...
months is not enough for them to decide on a console.
Right. But no, because I guess, like, in the morality system in Infamous 2, was sort of kind of the same, where the choices were very obvious, but as like Mark was saying about if, you know, you have to go one way or the other. But they started kind of removing good or bad side missions depending on what you were doing. So there was at least some repercussions for choosing one way or the other. Albeit,
well, as far as I can tell, this game isn't open world. It's a series of linear levels.
Right. Well.
So if there's any consequences for making a choice, I haven't seen them yet.
Hmm.
And I really doubt there are.
So is that the video you were capturing earlier?
Yeah. And I actually excellent. Just finished rendering it a couple of minutes ago.
I can't wait. Yeah, by the way, go check out Imran's little foray into video discussion article type thing with the classy title of Now is the Winter of Our HD Disc Content.
Content.
I even had a hard time saying it. I originally wanted to say discount tent, but it's disc content. So yeah, so go to nightshootbeer.com, check it out.
Yeah, if anyone has feedback on that in general, let me know, because
that is the best title I've ever read.
Thanks for the feedback, Brian.
I had somebody tell me like they wanted to read one of my older articles, but it was too many words. So I was like, okay, what if I just made a video?
Right, yeah. Not a lot of effort required on their part at that point. But yeah, so some of us are like getting new mics, new equipment, and we're kind of making forays into different kinds of media and different formats and stuff. Tomorrow night we should be recording, what was that, Brian?
In nitrobeer.xxx domain, is that what you're getting at?
eventually. Once we have the fan base to... and have eligibility for Rule 34, then yeah, then we'll open up nitrobeer.xxx.
Erotic beards.
Or is it 38? 34?
I'm pretty sure I'm the only fan base you need for that.
Oh, yeah. Video chat. Anyways. what was I saying? But yeah, so like tomorrow night, myself and Wes, at least, we'll be talking to a kind of special guest. It'll be somewhat of an interview, but kind of casual. It'll almost kind of be like a regular beard cast. But
is it Jeff Green? Are you interviewing Jeff Green?
That would be awesome, Jeff Green. If you're listening, you want to join us? You want to sit in on a kind of little small time grassroots build up podcast? By all means, let us know. Join us. But yeah, so something we're trying to start doing, trying to get some special guests and stuff. Yeah, so check it out, and there will be more coming up down the line. Right, what were we talking about before I went off on that tangent? Right, X-Men Destiny.
It's bad. Don't play it.
Not even ironically?
No.
X-Men
Because it's 5 hours long, and there's no
Ouch.
Amount of money that's going to justify a five-hour RPG.
X-Men
see, this
Ironic
Destiny.
This is
what sucks about our hobby. It's like, you can watch like a bad movie, ironically, like a B-movie. It's like 90 minutes. You don't have to worry about it. You can sit there with your friends and just rag on it. Like, a bad game is just depressing in every way because you're just fucking stuck.
You're
there.
Actually interacting with it. Yeah, you actually have to do something to progress it.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, the ways we get movies are not the same ways we get video
right.
games.
Yes.
Like, if there were an HBO for video games that, like, oh, X-Men Destiny's playing, maybe I'll play that for a couple of hours.
So what we need to do... I was gonna say we need to.
Wait a minute. Are you saying the stuff on Sega's channel was bad?
No. I'm saying that was a good idea.
Ah, okay. All right.
Well, I was gonna say on live, but with only a selection of bad games that we choose, but like good bad games, but bad games.
That I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's basically the same idea behind a streaming channel, just with video games.
Right.
They should find some way to do that.
What we could do is like just take a game and just like find like the highlights of it, like a particularly fucked up scenario, and just play through that, and just have like some like recorded track of people making fun of that section. That'd probably work.
It would just be sad, I think.
Yeah, it'd be sad. It'd also be awesome. Like, there has to be a way to get bad gaming like interesting. Every other like Harlequin romance novels, those things suck. But people read them like crazy. Like. God help me. Right. I read all like R.A. Salvatore's output like during like the early 90s. I fucking read that stuff. It was awful, and I regret doing it, but I did it. I enjoyed it.
You are right, and there's probably something to be said for running some sort of charity. Yeah. Like the Desert Bus guys.
Yeah.
Except more depressing, maybe.
Well, Desert Bus is just like looking at a screen, so
yeah. It's not really great. So, let's see. If we were to play, what would be the first bad game that we would play?
Drug Wars. Because I've had that thing on my hard drive and haven't figured out a good way to expose it to the masses.
What game?
Drug Wars.
Like,
can we play that from a calculator?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like an old calculator, TI-83 game.
You're thinking of Drug Dealer or something like that? No, Drug Wars is like a third-person shooter on Steam.
Oh my god.
It's probably several different games.
5 minutes, hold on.
And there's probably a Nancy Drew game that's terrible.
Why you gotta hate on Nancy Drew?
Look, I love Nancy Drew.
I think the harder thing would be to find a good Nancy Drew game. There's X-Blades. At least then we get to watch. Yeah.
Oh man, look at this. Oh wait, shit, Drug Wars. I remember. Was that the, with the punchy guys?
I don't know. I own it, but I haven't like figured out a way
to. Do you really?
Oh. Yeah.
How do you?
Yes.
How do you even Google something called Drug Wars, is my question.
We were talking about really bad games in chat.
Oh, man.
It's got multiplayer.
It's $5. All right. We need to do that. We definitely need to do something with this.
I've been thinking about live streaming the last couple of days, and this is what I want to live stream.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to get in on that, and we'll do something. Oh, man. He's gouging some guy's eye out with his robot gauntlet.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. Done deal. So
it's funny because when you boot the game up, it has like an entirely different title on the screen. I can't remember what it was.
It's like Rock'em Sock'em Punch Weed. I got nothing. Yeah. So all right, that's awesome. We'll definitely have to do some of that.
This is first or third or what is this?
It's first person.
A lot of this is third person that I'm seeing.
What, really?
I think multiplayer is third person. Maybe.
Well, like that course, that makes sense.
This is amazing.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so I look forward to... I'm going to have to look up some stuff about X-Men Destiny, and I will look for Imran's X-Men Destiny dealie, of course.
I've gotten on a kick for bad Marvel games, so I'm actually thinking about buying the last year's Spider-Man game.
Brother, do you have a lot of content ahead of you?
Wait, which Spider-Man game?
The last year's Spider-Man game, Shattered Dimensions, I think.
I never played that one. I kind of wanted to, because I love me some Spider-Man, but...
I'll let you know how it is, because I didn't hear good things.
Yeah,
but
let me know.
I know it has 70s Peter Parker as one of the Spider-Man.
It looked a bit janky yet for some things. I don't know. Because really the main appeal of the Spider-Man games for me have been just swinging around the open city.
Right, this is level-based, so that's
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. But I love Spider-Man, so...
if they can make it like a good Spider-Man game that's on the level of like Arkham Asylum, then that would probably be like my favorite game of the year.
It would be the Holy Grail, sort of. It would be the Citizen Kane of Holy Grails.
The Citizen Kane of Spider-Man games.
The Citizen Man's.
I tried watching that the other day.
Citizen Kane?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Not expected at all.
So, if you were to compare Citizen Kane to, say, a video game, what would it be like?
I didn't make it all the way through because it wasn't what I expected, and so it wasn't that kind of a movie.
He was expecting a video game after all this time.
Yeah, basically. No, I was expecting, I don't know, like...
Color? No, I'm just kidding.
what was that? The where the black guy, they think they kill him, or they think he killed the girl.
In the Heat of the Night?
No, the book.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yes, that. I expected it to be more like that. And I don't know, it was this weird newscast thing going on. I couldn't keep track of who was who.
It's more Great Gatsby than To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, that's probably a really good comparison. So I didn't finish watching it because I was not ready for a movie I had to pay attention to.
We didn't have books in Africa, so I never read those.
Racist.
Go back to Dongfrica. All right, so I also Brian and I wanted to talk about Arkham Asylum, or No, not Arkham Asylum.
We can talk about Arkham Asylum.
Or Arkham City. Arkham Horror, which is a H.P. Lovecraft-esque board game that is really neat. So I don't know if either Imran or Mark, have you guys seen it or have any experience?
Never heard of it.
Sadly, no. No, I wish I had.
And to clarify, it is not Lovecraft-esque. It is Lovecraft.
It is Lovecraft, yes. Sorry.
So how does the Joker fit into this?
He's Cthulhu.
Oh,
basically, which we're fighting right now.
Yeah, we are fighting Cthulhu. So the way
it works... Another crappy Joker boss fight.
It is. Except this one, you kind of get devoured.
You definitely...
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a way to... because, you know, according to canon, not only should you not be able to fight Cthulhu, you should be able to conceive of Cthulhu without...
So, has Batman fought Cthulhu at any point?
Yeah, he killed him.
I'm Googling
if
Batman.
If we asked Ro, he'd come up with the actual, like, scan of the picture.
I'm Googling Batman Cthulhu right now. The Doom That Came to Gotham, number one.
Oh, there you go.
this game is enormous.
The
version that we're playing right now is fairly large. I can't see an entire board on a screen. And there's like 12 expansions that are additional boards that you play around this board. It's intense.
Yeah, and the way it works is that there are a bunch of different investigators that you can pick from, and they all have kind of different abilities. You know, some are magicians, some are psychologists. I'm a hobo in this one, or a drifter. My name is Ashcan Pete.
Oh, sweet.
So
just to clarify, how are you guys playing this? Playing online somehow, or what's going on?
No, we're...
keeping the board state, and we're just kind of passing the...
photos around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
It's exactly what we're doing.
That is so fucking cool.
Brian's just got a webcam constantly displayed on the board. But not really. Anyways.
The dice rolls.
And it's cooperative. Like, you're all fighting, at the beginning of the game, a special monster. What is it called?
An ancient one
is picked. So there are a bunch of different ancient ones, each which kind of change the play of that entire game. And the goal is, of course, to defeat or prevent the ancient one from coming into the world, into Arkham.
Is there a rocket launcher involved? Do you, like, shoot the ancient one in the mouth with the rocket launcher?
Probably Tommy guns.
Tommy guns are pretty intense. Yeah,
yeah, Tommy guns, okay. Mostly.
Okay, I think I understand this game. All right.
Yeah, but the game is pretty brutal. Like, it's there are a lot of mechanics. Like, there's a sanity mechanic. Like, if you go to fight, you know, a shambler, you know, there's, like, a sanity check that comes into play, and if your guy doesn't have enough sanity, he'll lose it, and then he has to either be calmed by, like, a psychologist or go to the asylum to gain his sanity back. It's pretty deep and complex, and there's a great write-up about it on Rock, Paper, Shotgun. And there's this thing that always recurs in throughout that article that they just keep saying, the game knows. So, like, you know, you'll go and, you know, all you need is one dice, and you roll on seven, and all you need is one, and there will be some monster that turns out that specifically counteracts your abilities. The game knows.
Yeah, like the one that Squiz is in right now with good friends.
That's me, by the way, Brian.
That's Brian Belita is in with one of our other good friends, Augustus Gloop. The game kicked him off with a rush of monsters. And Augustus Gloop jumps in with his Tommy gun.
He just started blasting monsters.
All of them. And it's this incredible firefight. Everybody's happy. They go on with their turns. Very next round, six more show up. On top of him.
Right, literally on top of him. And meanwhile, I drove my hobo cycle over to Hibbs Roadside Diner to get a steak, and somebody bought me a whiskey.
I hear sizzling.
Yeah, there's sizzling or, like, crinkling ice.
And we're done. Okay.
But yeah, so I don't know. I've been having a lot more fun with board games lately between the Heroescape and I'm doing with my normal group, and actually I own the actual Arkham board game, but I haven't actually played it with any of my friends yet, so I haven't been able to actually play a physical copy of it, just through the photos and whatnot that we are using to play the current game.
Out of curiosity, did you buy Frozen Synapse on Steam the other day?
I didn't. That was, what, part of the Humble Bundle or whatever?
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't know if that's the kind of game I can wrap my brain around. It might be.
It's really confusing, but
yeah,
like, it seems like the kind of thing you would like.
I think I will check it out. I know David from Thick Mustache didn't like it, but of course there are different tastes, and I'm willing to give it a try. Because it looked kind of interesting, because it was a simultaneous turn-based, right?
Asynchronous
turn-based.
So basically you can
Is asynchronous different from simultaneous?
Asynchronous is like Scrabble. Simultaneous is like, I don't know what a good example of simultaneous
would be. Wait, isn't Scrabble...
At what point did the turn-based disappear?
I don't know. Anyways, I think I will check it out. Yeah. Board games, rolling dice.
Whatevs.
Yeah, I mean, this goes to something we were talking about with the Heroescape. I mean, I think board games would be a lot more fun to do online with, you know, people like you guys, but it's really hard to program in that kind of...
Yeah, there are a lot of different things that go into it. I mean, Brian and I were talking about kind of, I don't know, making some sort of Heroescape-esque clone, involving some things, but there are some things that would be really easy, but then there's like one thing that just shits it off completely. Yeah.
Like we were talking about, because with the Heroescape, it's a, you know, hexagonal board arrangement, and there's this one character that's a dinosaur that takes up two hexagons, which, you know, piece of cake, that's easy to program. But there's this rule that he can't be in a spot where the two hexagons can't fit comfortably, which basically means that if you've got some kind of canyon or nook or something
because he's got like a tail that extends beyond the two hexes.
Tail doesn't fit in there, then you're screwed. So now you've gone from 2D array of locations to creating 3D models of everything and doing collision detections and
right
pain in the ass.
Yeah, and then there's line of sight. But anyways, I don't know. I'm really, and maybe we'll get there. I feel like it might be building, but I don't know. I feel like kind of online board games, and I hope so. We'll kind of make some sort of surge in the coming years. With I don't know, emulated dice rolls and stuff like that. Easy enough to kind of pick up and play. You know, through like email or whatever. I don't know. I think it could be good.
See, board games are what I play with friends when I want to not be friends with them anymore. Because basically every board game night at my place is which one of my friends is a competitive asshole. And it turns out the answer is everybody.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
That's why I like Arkham, because it's not competitive. You guys are working together.
Right,
I get devoured.
Yeah, which is a good part. And the Heroescape nights that we have, sometimes that happens. But usually it's a good group of guys. So maybe you just need better friends than Ron.
Perhaps.
That's yet to be determined. I don't know. If anyone has any board game recommendations, feel free to send them our way. I'm always looking for kind of new things. And I just need to find either more time for me and my usual group of friends to meet, or I need to get all my friends to move closer, or some variation or solution therein.
Being an adult really hurts, like, pen and paper and board games and card games.
It does.
And it just completely ruins all the good times you had with that shit.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I don't know, maybe I'm sure I could find some local group or something. Like, there are a couple comic book stores in downtown Frederick near where I live. But I don't know. I feel like I probably wouldn't get together with those kind of guys or get along with
13-year-olds.
Yeah, playing Yu-Gi-Oh. That's it. I'm picking up Yu-Gi-Oh, guys.
No, we
pick up 5D or the regular 3D.
Oh, definitely 5D.
I can no longer be part of this podcast. This is disgusting.
No, we tried to do a pen and paper D&D over the internet one time. That went about like you'd expect.
Right. Yeah. It's sad, but so I'm hoping, and with like mobile gaming and stuff, which seems like it would be obviously very well suited to it, just be able to pick up, take your turn, and you're done. So I don't know. Well, I think we're all done.
You want to go by what we're playing, or?
Yeah, we can talk about what we've been playing. Anyone been playing anything new or interesting?
I've been playing Rusty Hearts. Well, no, I haven't been playing Rusty Hearts. I launched Rusty Hearts.
Oh, that's the new free-to-play game on Steam, yeah, right?
From Korea. And within the first 5 minutes, I accidentally unequipped and dropped all of my equipment, and I couldn't figure out how to put it back on. And I couldn't do damage to anybody, so I quit.
Oh, shit.
So that was a thing. But more importantly, I've been playing Blocks That Matter, and that game is cute and fun.
What? Explain. Tell me about this game.
Okay, so it's a side-scroller, or not side-scroller, a puzzle room platformer where you can absorb blocks by drilling into them or hitting them with your head, and then you can place those blocks anywhere, but only in the shape of Tetronimos.
Of what? Oh,
Tetris. So basically, okay. Yes, you have Tetris to know shape. Your Tetris shapes, or you're not going to get very far.
Oh, was this made?
It's an indie game. I'm not sure who made it.
Why do I feel like no? This isn't the. Isn't there some new game that the Alien Hominid guys are making?
No, that's a Binding of Isaac.
No, that's Super Meat Boy guys.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Behemoth.
Right. Oh, well, anyways, well, this kind of, but I know this isn't it, but it looks kind of neat.
It's really, I mean, I paid $5 for it, and it's a more than appropriate price.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so, then what, you're thinking Battle Block Theater.
Yes, I believe that's what it's called. Okay.
And I think Blocks That Matter does have a demo, so you guys should try it out.
I will do that. Man, I'm learning about all kinds of games.
For once, I'm teaching you about indie games. How terrible.
It hasn't gotten to that time of year where I go on my indie gaming binge yet.
I thought you were about to say that time of month.
No, usually about once a year for like 3 months, I just go on this indie gaming binge where I catch up on like everything from the past year and play everything that's like new now. And I just, it's not a pretty sight.
Well, we're in Calm Before the Storm territory right now.
Yeah, we are.
So I'm playing a lot of small things in preparation for, like, Arkham and crap like that.
Nice, yeah. Yeah. Anything else? I mean, other than X-Men Destiny?
Nothing I can think of offhand. How about you?
I've been playing some more Minecraft, actually, for a while after... kind of just alone, because I did the Let's Play with the Thick Mustache guys, and that's coming up in pieces slowly. But I started playing single player with some of the new update, 1.8 and stuff, and kind of been having fun with that. The new combat feels good, and I don't know, I just kind of get that same feeling that I always get with Minecraft when you first start a world. I don't know, it's just really neat to kind of see this game evolve. But yeah, so I've been doing that, and I took a hint from Blaze Hedgehog, who said he was doing like a nomad run where he was kind of, you know, building a little house and kind of getting some stuff around the area, and then just basically moving all the time. So I started doing that, I don't know, with kind of the idea that I'd see just how far I can get or how big the world is. So I'm basically running in one direction, always north, kind of in the same plane, maybe stopping if I see something cool or a village or something. And then when it gets night, I build a house, I sleep, and then I keep running. I don't know. I, with the idea at the end that I'll like export the map at the end and kind of see what it looks like and how big it is. And I don't know, maybe I went in a big circle, who knows. So I've been playing that. And then also the Edge Extended update hit Steam, which is really rad. Edge is that kind of retro puzzle platformer game that I played out and we had the competition for a while ago. And the update that just came out has like 40 new levels, a bunch of new music tracks. They did something to the engine, but it now runs at like 60 FPS solid and it's gorgeous. It just looks amazing. And that's pretty much it. The usual Dead Island, Left 4 Dead. Started playing some Brink recently again with David Marchman. Getting back into that a bit. That's about it. What about the other Brian?
I've been playing Magicka, because I picked that up during the same sale.
We should play that sometime.
Yeah, I never actually booted that up, so we should...
Wear lightning robes would be a good idea for you to wear. I tend to go a little bit overboard with electricity.
I was always kind of a ice kind of guy, but wait, what's the red laser stuff called? I can't think of the name now.
Starts with an S.
Yes. Anyways, laser ice. That's all you need to know.
Electric laser ice.
Electric laser ice. Yeah, usually. I think it's like QEQERRR or something. I don't remember. But yeah, we should do a night of gang wars or drug wars and then Magicka.
That would be good. And then my oldest son, he's turning 5 in a couple months now. I've started letting him play computer games, and he's playing Angry Birds.
Part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm conflicted because, you know, on the one hand, all the things that my parents yelled at me when I was growing up about not spending too much time on the computer and whatnot are finally starting to make sense a little bit.
Right.
And then on the other hand, I ended up working on computers for a living, so I'm torn.
Well, and yeah. Yeah, I understand you.
Give him real birds to shoot out of slingshots.
Well, see, that's the thing, is we told him one day that he couldn't play anymore for the night because he had played like a half an hour or so. And so then he started stacking up dice on the table and throwing things at it.
Nice, there you go. That's pretty good. Well, that's like how I used to play a lot of The Incredible Machine, and when my parents told me I couldn't do that, I'd go over to my friends and we'd make real-life Rube Goldberg machines, which is good.
Yeah, it's definitely good. So, but yeah, so that's what we've been doing over here at the paper household.
The paper labor house. Nice. Mark, what about you?
This thing on. Okay. Yes. I bought the Shadow of the... Yeah, hello?
Are you there? We can't hear. I'm just kidding. I was just messing with you, Mark.
See, now you were confusing me, because I was like, what's wrong?
No, I bought a Shadow of the Ico, Team Ico collection, which is a Ico and a Shadow.
Oh, nice. I want to get that.
Yeah, I bought it, started up Shadow of the Colossus. And,
that game.
Yeah, I want to sit down with it when I have a lot of free time to play it, so I'm probably going to play a bunch this weekend. I'm just getting home from work and just not really having a lot of time with it, because that's definitely something I need to spend some time with. But otherwise, not really playing much of anything.
That's cool. Yeah, that's how it was with when I borrowed Shadow of the Colossus from Patrick Bonaducci, Ether art guy. There was just like a week straight where I'd come home and I'd just like play it for 4 hours because the schedule was such that that my wife was kind of working late, and so I just had like 4 hours right after work that I could do whatever. So it was pretty nice.
Yeah, and then this I haven't had an opportunity to play Ico yet, so this would be basically a new game.
I probably should revisit Ico. Or Eco or whatever. I mean, as I'd talked about before on the cast, my first attempt with it resulted in me falling asleep.
I actually own it for the PlayStation 2, but I don't. It was a copy I got from like a game, not GameStop, but a Blockbuster sale, and it didn't come with an instruction manual. So, and this is back in that stage before it was mandatory to put tutorials in games, and you kind of had to have the instruction manual. And, just wander around the first room and just...
Fight the darkness.
Yeah, just die, and it's like, well, that's pretty cool. So I put in R-Type Final and played a bunch of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, sweet.
It's fucking art games. This is stupid.
Games as art. Well, awesome. Well, groovy, guys. Well, we're going to call it a wrap. Mr. Laper, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And look for the video content that Imran's been putting up, and kind of new content going around. Check out our Twitter accounts. We're always posting stuff there whenever we start live streaming or whatever. And sometime tomorrow or this weekend, you'll see another audio podcast type dealy up with our special guest. And bye.
Bye.
See you later.
See ya.
Thanks. We'll be right back.